Here we are. We're talking, doing the sound check.
Drinking my cotton candy Bang, the best flavor.
I'm drinking my pina colada Bang, maybe like top five flavor.
No, I think that one,
for me at least.
Having just tasted it, it tastes like a pina colada after you throw up. That's what that one tastes like to me.
Oh, man. I don't like how accurate that is, but I still like it. Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week.
Do you know what you're doing here?
Normally, it's volume ones, but today is a very special episode. We're reading a volume two.
Unheard of. Did you know that trades went past volume one?
Yeah, dude, I had no clue.
That's unbelievable to me. Imagine
I can't count that high. Imagine
all the stories that could have a volume two that we've read already that we definitely only thought was a volume one.
Makes my head hurt. I don't want to think about it.
Yeah. Can you imagine if Invincible had more trades or The Walking Dead had more trades?
I don't know if there's more to expand on there. Yeah. You know?
I thought it was just they like to leave cliffhangers.
Superhero just taking down teachers. Yeah. You know? That's what else more do you need? You
yeah. Know? Nothing.
You know, just in case, we have a volume one of Why the Last Man episode. You can go back and watch or listen to.
Yep.
I don't know what episode it was. 30 something maybe.
Yep. Yeah. Around there. We're very excited for Why the Last Man TV show to come out. So we already read volume one, but it's such a good book that we read volume two. And I feel like by the end of like this season or whatever, we'll still be like in good standing or whatever. I don't think we're going to be that ahead.
I think like in volume two, that's probably like around where it'll be, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm Daniel. You're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
We sure do. If you are just listening, we have time codes for all of the different segments, so you can skip around if you want. We have the news. We have Why the Last Man Volume 2 that we're going to read, Back Matter, and then the pull list where we talk about the different things that we've been reading and watching and all that. So pretty exciting stuff. But for now, let's get into some of the hot news that you've probably heard before.
Very sexy news. Nathan, did you know that the Ten Rings was in like Iron Man? Like that was like the terrorist group that like captured
him? Did you not?
No, I forgot about that.
That's why Ben Kingsley is in it, because they're like, well, we have to explain this because he was the Mandarin or whatever. So
did he have to do with the Ten Rings at all?
Yeah, the Mandarin is like the villain that had the Ten Rings normally. But like the Ten Rings themselves weren't like a part of it. It was just that was like the cult symbol was the Ten Rings. But like in the comics, the Mandarin normally has the Ten Rings on his fingers,
mm-hmm.
but in the movie it was just that character, the Mandarin, which was Ben Kingsley, and then it wasn't because it was Guy Pearce,
right?
Guy Pearce's character. But then like the Ten Rings themselves never made like an appearance. So
okay, thank
there's
you.
There's a lot of course correcting I think Marvel had to do, but yeah, I was aware that that was going on.
Okay, yeah, that was just like new to me. I'm like, are they reusing villains? I just wasn't sure.
Yeah.
But kind of, but not really.
It's very confusing. So like, I feel like a normal moviegoer would have no idea like what Kingsley character was or whatever.
You really have to be like up to date on this shit.
Yeah. And I feel like I somewhat am, and it's still kind of confusing to me. So it is what it is. But yes,
for
I
sure.
Didn't know that.
Nathan, really exciting news. Bob's Burgers is getting a movie Memorial Day 2022.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Is that a comic book? Why are you bringing this up on this comic
Probably.
Book show?
I love Bob's Burgers.
I do too.
I just wanted to bring that up.
That show is so good when you're hungover.
It's really good sober too.
Yeah, it is good sober.
Like it comes on, the time it comes on, like on cable, is like the perfect time to watch it.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
9 p.m., you know?
Yeah, like, that's a banger show.
I'm sure there's a comic for it. I just haven't like seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll look it up. What do you got?
A couple Marvel announcements. Declan Shalvey, who I'm a big fan of. He's a great artist and writer.
There are comics. There's a lot of them, actually.
Bob's Burgers comics?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hell yeah.
Dynamite comics.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Who are the people that did Rick and Morty? Was that Boom?
Oni Press.
Oni, you're right. Yeah. Wow, good job. Good memory.
I'm pretty smart sometimes. Yeah. And things that are very useless that'll never come up in trivia games.
Yeah, there's never going to be a trivia question of, like, what comic book publisher produces the Bob's Burgers comics?
If everyone was like, I'd be like, actually, I'm going to kick this in the balls.
Whenever there's like a trivia question that's comic book related, it's always like, what's the name of Batman's son? And I'm like, God damn it, that's so obvious.
That's common knowledge.
Yeah. And then everybody's like, oh, fuck, he's got a kid? But I'm like, what are you talking about? Idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's never anything that like quite hits home. Maybe mm-hmm. we should do a comic book trivia show or something. That'd be kind of fun.
We could do that for like a bonus episode. Like we write questions for like each other that we know that the other knows.
But, that's so lame.
But it might stump them. You
yeah,
know
maybe.
I mean?
Yeah. That might be kind of fun.
Or like just more Jeopardy, honestly.
Yeah, it would honestly just be more Jeopardy, which that episode was a disaster.
I thought it was a lot of fun.
It was fun, but I felt like I would have done better. So I just feel like it's a disaster.
Yeah, remember when I won 3 times in a row, Nathan?
Off of bullshit?
Dude, if the odds that I would win 3 times, that'd be insane.
Yeah, I had no one could have foreseen.
Yeah.
But anyway, Marvel, Declan Shelvey is going to be writing a story for Elektra, Black, White, and Blood. So it's another one of those like a superhero, but colored only with one color kind of deal. So,
yeah, this is like a Deadpool one, I think.
There was like a Carnage one.
Yeah.
And then a Wolverine one. And then
right.
DC has a bunch as well where it's like Superman red and blue or Batman black and white, which is I think where it originates from.
Probably.
Just have Batman, you read any black of those? And white. Batman black and white's quite good. I definitely recommend it because it's like all-star people, like even artists as well. Like mm-hmm. Greg Capullo and Scott Snyder do one. Tom King and Mitch Gerards do one. Daniel Warren Johnson wrote and drew his own for Batman Black and White. Jorge Jimenez also does a really good one. So I like that one a lot. But I think they added colors because they're just like cutting out like a whole part of the creative process. So as a way to like kind of stick with the same vibe, they've added like one color.
I'm sure like it's cheaper, you know, to pay at colors to do this, you know.
Maybe
it's like half price kind of thing.
But it's also like it adds its own challenges because you can't just like color New York normally. You know, you have to like color it different shades of blue, which might present its own challenges. So I think I like these versions more than just black and white because I think color adds a lot to comics and limiting it to one color makes things interesting.
I think like The Walking Dead is fine as like a black and white comic because mm-hmm. like there's like blood. Yeah, but when you draw that, you know what that is, you know, and zombies are kind of like a grayish color anyway.
Yeah.
So
it makes it feel like an old horror movie too.
The only thing that would actually help it was distinguishing the characters because you really have to memorize like their hairstyle in order to remember everybody. So,
well, I think if it's made for black and white, it works quite well. Like Stray Bullets is a good example.
Yeah,
like
that one's pretty good.
Yeah, that's like a good black and white book. But anyway, other people on Elektra, Black, White, and Blood, Charles Soule. And Leo Romero, I'm not sure who that is, but John.
Are these anthologies or just
anthologies?
Different?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
John Romita Jr. is doing a cover. It looks quite good.
That is dope.
Yeah. Other Marvel things.
JRJR did that.
JRJR did that. Yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah. You don't like him at all, do you?
I don't. Like that's my opinion, but like
he's great on covers. Interiors.
He's great on covers. He had some really solid like Marvel stuff, but I'm just not like a fan. But that is like probably one of the better covers that I've seen by him.
Yeah, it looks cool. And I think he was the one that did like that stuff with Frank Miller anyway. He did like David Mazzucchelli stuff. Or he did stuff with David Mazzucchelli, but I think he did stuff with JRJR too on Daredevil.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, another interesting Marvel thing. So you know how DC partnered with like Webtoons to do those like continuous comics?
Yes.
Marvel just did a big update for their Marvel Unlimited app. And that's going to include what they call Unlimited Comics or Infinity Comics or something like that. And it's the same format where it's just the endless scrolling comics.
Uh-huh.
And they've announced like a bunch of comics that will be available or are available already. So
wasn't one of them like Daredevil that you said last week?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think so. But there's going to be Giant Size Little Marvels by Scotty Young. Who's going to be writing and drawing it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude. They know how to get people to buy this
shit. I know. I'm like, fuck me,
dude. I was like, I don't
want to
pay for this shit again. I remember canceling it like a year ago.
Yeah, so that's going to be really good. It's going to be his like distinct style and everything. There's one called It's Jeff, which is a cute little shark from one of the Deadpool runs, I guess. And it's going to be written by 79 semifinalists. I think that's Kelly Thompson.
Okay.
And then somebody else, but it looks really fun. It's just like a little cute little shark. And I saw some pages from it or whatever, some panels from it. And it actually looks quite fun.
It's like a little dog that's like a shark.
Yeah, basically.
It's got feet.
It's pretty cute. So there's a bunch of Infinity comics that are now available on the Marvel Unlimited app. And I saw some pretty good ones, but I didn't screenshot any of them.
See, this is probably what they should have been doing rather than like making things exclusive to this app rather than it being like a way people experience their comics. Like, yeah, like the subscription is like a pretty good deal, you know, however many Marvel comics you want to read, but
for $10, yeah.
Yeah, but I like personally never liked reading it that well because it doesn't, I don't think the reading experience is as good as Comixology because you can't read just like a trade. You have to only read individual issues.
And yeah, really, which is kind of shitty.
Super fucking tedious. And so having things like this that are like, hey, you can only get this here, that like adds like a lot of value.
Yeah, and I guess they did like a big revamp with a lot of its UI and everything. So I think that they probably realized that not a lot of people were finding it worth it, especially since now a lot of Marvel comics are on like Comixology Unlimited. It just kind of like lessened that need for it even more.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, so there was at that point it was just like Image stuff, it felt like, and then a couple DC things.
Yeah.
Is DC like, isn't there like a DC Universe, was what it was called?
There was DC Universe, but then they stopped it, I'm pretty sure.
Is the app still a thing or no?
I think the app might still be a thing.
I remember having it, and I think you can watch things like with like your HBO subscription if you wanted. And then, because that also had like the shows and the app in the comics.
And I thought it was pretty good at that point.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but speaking of DC, actually, have you heard of the animated TV show Aquaman King of Atlantis?
Yeah, dude, that shit looks weird.
It looks good, actually, I think.
Yeah, isn't James Wan on that?
No, maybe.
Is it from the director of Aquaman?
Oh, cool.
And I'm like, what the fuck? Just seems so random.
Yeah, so it's a Aquaman children's show from what it looks like.
An animated trilogy.
Animated trilogy. Really? So it's like it's going to be like a movie?
I think it's like 3 episodes. Probably a half hour each or something.
It does say the animated trilogy. But it looks like very much in the style of like Steven Universe or something.
Yeah, or like kind of an Adult Swim show or something like that. It's like
very bright and vibrant. And after watching the trailer, it looks like really good, honestly.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun.
So I'll probably give it like a look. Because I think they're doing Aquaman comedy, but not in the way that like dismisses the character of Aquaman.
Yeah, it's like just Aquaman being funny.
Yeah, and it's not like making fun of Aquaman. It's just, Aquaman in funny situations. And I think it looked really good, honestly.
Yeah, so October 14th on HBO Max.
Yeah, super cool.
Pretty exciting.
What other news you got?
The Boys Season 3 finished filming.
That's good.
Pretty exciting. Marvel announced 4 release dates for 2024.
Oh, movies?
Yeah, like additional release dates for 2024. I don't know if there's any already.
They just announced that there were going to be 4 movies.
Yes.
But they didn't say what they were?
No.
Okay. Interesting.
So we'll see.
Did you see the DC animated movie trailer for Injustice?
The old one? Or is there a new one?
It's a DC animated movie for based off of the game / comic series Injustice.
Yes. That came out a while ago.
Oh, okay. Well, it was the first time I was just seeing the trailer. It said that it was just posted like 5 days ago.
So maybe it's a new one.
Could be something. A new one, but it was like a full feature trailer.
You know, it wasn't like a trailer. It was like them explaining it was like a behind the scenes trailer kind of thing. But that's cool.
Looks really good, honestly. Just like, I think I'll actually check it out. Like, I haven't seen like DC's animated stuff, their animated movies for like a while. Even though apparently The Long Halloween's like quite good.
But I watched Red Sun and that was really cool.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Because I never had read that.
Oh, I have. So it's good.
I just wanted to watch it.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is sick.
Yeah. So I'm excited for this one. I love the comic series. I love the game. So whichever one they pull from, I'm here for.
Probably a bit of both.
It looked like mainly the comic series.
Because that's got a little bit more depth to it. But
no, it was starting like right where the game started. But I think it's going to be pulling from comic book stuff. So.
Is there a release date?
There probably was. I just didn't take a screenshot of that.
Because we should read that before it comes out.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be really cool, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Whenever there's a thing, Nathan, be like, what book should we read
for this? We got to read it, yeah. It helps decide for us because we're not good at deciding what to read ourselves.
Exactly. Nathan, Venom, Let There Be Carnage is going to be the shortest Marvel movie at 90 minutes.
Sure.
So we don't have to suffer that much.
I saw another trailer for it, and it made it look better because it was serious. Like, it was, like, a serious trailer rather than, like, Venom being like, I'm going to eat this old lady.
Yeah, whatever. I know. I don't think any of the comic relief is very funny. Like, I get it. And
the symbiote's not, like, a funny character. And Eddie Brock is just embarrassing.
And, like, and just him being, like, all carnivore all the time, wanting to eat everything, it just isn't.
That falls flat for me real quick.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, we get it. Did you see the Hawkeye trailer, Nathan?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't it looks pretty cool?
It's very cool.
It looks like
it's a Christmas show.
It's a Christmas show.
Yeah.
I can't remember when that comes out, the 24th of November, I think.
Yeah.
But it looks, it's kind of what I was really hoping for, but kind of, it looks better than what I thought, you know?
Yeah. That's the perfect way to put it.
Yeah. It's like low key. It's just him doing his thing. I guess he's having a thing with his hearing or something.
Yeah. Maybe.
And then he's also like, there's some backlash for his Ronin days, mm-hmm. which is really sick.
Really cool. I hope we see like a little bit more Ronin, like in flashbacks or something. Cause we see Ronin for what, like 30 seconds in Endgame? So
maybe a minute.
I feel like there's at least room for a little bit more Ronin. But yeah, it does look like what I was wanting, which is that Matt Fraction like inspired work from Hawkeye,
mm-hmm.
but in the context of the MCU, and it seems like it fits in perfectly. So
yeah, definitely.
Very good. Netflix just orders a Grendel series based on the Dark Horse comic Grendel, which was made by Matt Wagner.
No shit.
Yeah. Are you familiar?
Yeah. He's like an assassin and he's got a real cool mask.
Yeah. That's exactly what he is. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Do you have any expectations on when that's coming, or that's all we know?
I think that's all we know.
So like 2 or 3 years maybe?
I just took a screenshot of the headline from Deadline. So
okay, no,
that's all I got.
Wow, Deadline reported that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Colin Farrell getting a Penguin spinoff series.
Who cares?
For HBO Max. I know.
I'm sure he'll be good in that character. I just don't know anything about that universe, so I don't know if I care yet.
Also, speaking of weird series, there's a live action Marvel Zombies in the works.
I heard rumors about that. Is that confirmed?
I guess Mark Miller talked about it, but I don't know why he would be the source for that.
Apparently,
or did he do one of them?
Apparently he created Marvel's like the Marvel Zombies universe, but in like one of his Fantastic Four comics. This is Robert Kirkman that like tweeted it, and I just hadn't known yet.
Okay.
But Robert Kirkman was the guy that was hired to flesh out that universe.
Oh.
But Mark Miller technically created it in his Fantastic Four run.
Gotcha.
Which I didn't know.
I don't know how this would fit, just having a random zombie apocalypse in the Marvel universe.
Yeah, it seems odd.
Unless it's just a multiverse thing.
Yeah, unless they make like a whole bunch of what if. Like if they, after like what if they spin off and do like Elseworlds type deal, like stories.
Yeah.
Then maybe, but I guess we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, just thought I'd bring that up.
Do you have any more news? Because I have like a bunch of series that got announced from the big two that I'm just going to do real quick.
A couple things.
Sure.
Nathan, going to kind of reach into your memories really quick. Do you remember the game Twisted Metal?
Yeah, it's a great, great game. And Anthony Mackie's on it now or whatever.
Yep. Live action series.
Series.
Mm, pretty weird.
Was good.
It was just like cars fighting, basically.
It was an unbelievable PSP game.
One of the best.
Yeah. And I know that Twisted Metal existed before PSP, but that's like how I came to know the game.
Right.
So it's really good.
Is Swamp Thing on your list?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so we'll start with that. Daniel, did you feel like you had enough Jeff Lemire to read?
Absolutely not.
Well, he's announced a new thing.
Oh, yeah?
Jeff Lemire is writing Swamp Thing, The Green Hell, and he's doing it with artist Doug Monk?
Mankey.
Mankey? Like the Pokemon?
I think it's Mankey.
Okay, Doug Mankey.
It could be Mank. There's a lot of unnecessary letters in his name.
There's like a lot of silent letters, potentially. I don't know. Maybe you're supposed to pronounce
all
of them.
Or it's Mankey.
Mankey. Something like that. But like
three oversized issues in under the Black Label imprint.
Correct.
It'd be pretty brutal.
Issue one out December 28th. Doug is a great horror artist as well. I've seen him in a couple different like one-shot things, so pretty exciting about that if you weren't already behind on Jeff Lemire things to read.
You know, I'm pretty close to being caught up, honestly.
That's good. Okay, other things. There's a Batgirls series that was just announced, released December 14th. It's going to be by Becky Cloonan and Michael Conrad, and Jorge Corona are going to be on it, and that's going to be Cassandra Cain and Stephanie Brown kicking ass in Gotham, and it's going to be mentored by Oracle. There's a World of Krypton book that's going to have Robert Venditti on it and Michael Avon Oeming, actually, which kind of surprised me.
Oh, for sure.
And so that's going to be, it's going to shine new light on Kryptonians, including Jor-El, General Drew Zod, a young Kara Zor-El, and Puppy Crypto.
Nice.
So that's going to be a 6-issue series that starts December 7th on my birthday. if anybody was wondering. Also coming out on December 7th, my birthday, if anybody was wondering. One Star Squadron. And I'm really excited about this because I have no idea what this is, but the creators behind it are Mark Russell.
Okay.
And Steve Lieber. I've really been enjoying on... He was on... He just won the Eisner for Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen.
Right.
But he was also just doing stuff on Titans Academy.
It sounds like a Suicide Squad almost for like heroes. Like just like all these random like C-list heroes maybe.
It seems like it's focused around Red Tornado, but there's a bunch of like lower tier like superheroes even below Red Tornado.
Which I fuck with.
I fuck with Red Tornado a lot. I don't know why I like him so much, but he's just like Vision, but he can do tornado things.
I do not know why an android would have anything to do with weather, but it's sick.
Yeah, it is awesome. And he's got a sweet cape.
He's got a big old T on his chest.
A big cuffed cape. We like to see those. He's like big a Doctor Strange cuffed cape.
He's big and red.
Yeah, so
we love it.
I fuck with him a lot. And I'm excited to see what that is. So that comes out on my birthday as well. And then last one, Marvel. Daniel, do you like the old maniverse with old man Logan and old man Hawkeye and all that stuff?
And old man Quill.
And old man Quill. Well, Marvel announced Wastelanders, which is going to be set in the old maniverse, which is basically just the wasteland. That's what it's called.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to focus on heroes like old man Logan, old man Hawkeye, old man Star-Lord, and old man woman Black Widow.
Old man woman Black Widow?
Old man Black Widow.
Not
woman. And it's going to drop in December. So apparently that's happening.
That's cool that they're just like all in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because
I think I read part of Old Man Hawkeye, but there's like essentially no Old Man Logan in it. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of like...
And I imagine meh. Old Man Star-Lord? Is that what they called it? Old Man
Quill? I thought it was Old Man Quill.
Okay, that's pretty cool too.
I could be wrong.
Old Man Quill really like rolls off the tongue.
That one was shorter, I think. That one was like a 5-issue series.
I wonder if Old Man Black Widow was in Old Man Hawkeye. It seems like she would fit in there.
I don't remember. Because you remember how just like random, like the people that were still alive in Old Man Logan were?
Yeah, but it was interesting.
It was kind of like that.
Yeah.
I think like, I don't think there's any reason for her to be in it, but I could be wrong.
Are there any young people in the Old Maniverse? You've read more of it than I have.
There's
the Hulks.
There's like Spider-Girl.
Okay, cool.
Remember?
We should read Old Man Logan.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's like the Mark Miller one or the Jeff Lemire one. That one's quite good as well. It's Jeff Lemire and Andrea Sorrentino on it.
Got to do the first one. Yeah, no, I read it, most of it.
Yeah, pretty good. So, good stuff. That's all the things I have for news. Do you have anything else?
Nope, that's it.
All right, cool. So with that, we'll get into the book that we read this week, which is Why the Last Man, Volume 2.
Well, like, why is he the last man? Am I right?
You know what I just realized actually reading this trade specifically? It's called Why the Last Man, and Yorick's name starts with a Y, and I never made that connection.
I made that connection, like, as I was watching the show.
Yeah, because I figured it was like, oh, because of Y chromosome, and it is, but there's, like, a triple meaning to it, because Yorick's name
the third
starts
one?
Well, like, it's triply clever because Yorick's name starts with a Y, and it's Why the Last Man, and then, like, Y chromosome people died. So there's just so many levels that just went right over my head. So
sure.
Yeah, so we've already read volume one. If you want to check out that episode, it's somewhere in all the episodes where you get your podcasts. But I love the series a lot. I think it's really fluid and really nice, and I really liked the show, but we'll talk about that in the poll list. So let me just get us caught up on where we were, on what happened in volume one. So basically where we left is Yorick is the last man alive, and Agent 355 was tasked with taking him to Dr. Mann, a geneticist that might be able to figure out why Yorick is the sole like last man alive. But once they found Dr. Mann in her lab in Boston, her lab was mysteriously destroyed while they were gone. So they need to go to California to get Dr. Mann's backup lab, basically. So they need to figure out how to get to California. But Yorick is still focused on finding his girlfriend, Beth, who was in Australia at the time when all the men died. And then Yorick's sister, Hero, is now part of a cult of Amazons trying to hunt down and kill this mysterious man. So that's basically what happened in the first trade. Or that's where we've
stopped.
That's where we're picking up.
Yeah. I kind of like flipped through the last issue. So yeah. Did they go to the White House in the first trade?
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember
Yorick's
that.
Mom is like...
The president.
Very high-ranking congresswoman.
Yeah.
And when all the men died, she was like the chain of command. She was like next in chain of command.
Yes.
So she became like president, basically.
Right.
Before we get started, did you read that like first thing like before it gets into the trade?
Like the reminder kind of thing?
The first page. Yeah. It talks about like how the world was sort of impacted and gives like a couple statistics. So they call all the men dying the gender side, which I think is a cool name.
Okay.
But it instantaneously exterminated 48% of the global population, which is about 2.9 billion men. And so 495 of the Fortune 500 CEOs are now dead. So that's a lot of men.
Mm-hmm.
As are 99% of the world's landowners, more than 95% of all commercial pilots, truck drivers, and ship captains died, mm-hmm. as did 92% of all violent felons. 99% of all mechanics, electricians, and construction workers are now deceased. And though 51% of the planet's agricultural labor force is still alive. So it like goes into like a lot of really interesting statistics about if this were to happen,
mm-hmm.
like there's what, like, why are there so many like men in these jobs and not women? And there's like something to be said about that. Like there's like a really weird imbalance of certain types of jobs between men and women, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And there's like a reason for it and like a couple of them probably, but then it also makes you think like, why aren't there more women in like mechanics or like electricians?
Sure. Know? I mean, when I used to work in like logistics, like I maybe talked to one female truck driver out of like the 100 calls I made a day.
Yeah.
So that was like, it's not a fun job.
No.
You know? And it's like, but it's not great like for hygiene.
Enjoy it either, you know?
Yeah. No, they just kind of do it.
Yeah.
I think just kind of like some of the grunt jobs that kind of like suck. Like a lot of men take,
yeah,
like the truck driving and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I feel like there should be like definitely more pilots and stuff like that.
Yeah. Maybe now. I mean, this book was published around 2002.
Yeah. Think, so there's probably like
where this book is set. So I assume those statistics are taken from there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it just kind of makes you think there's a lot of career paths that are male dominated and like,
sure.
It's not necessarily like, I don't know, just never something that you'd think about. So there's mm-hmm. a lot of really cool things in there. And worldwide, 85% of all government representatives are now dead, which is part of the draw, I think, of this book, is that most of the government dies, but there's like still some government. So like, how does the world operate on some government?
Right.
100% of Catholic priests, Muslim imams, and Orthodox Jewish rabbis.
Yeah.
So that's also a big thing too, like how religion is affected.
There was some weird rule when I was trying to get like confirmed that like just women just like couldn't be priests. I couldn't remember the reasoning why.
Yeah.
They kind of bullshitted around it. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're like all dudes.
Yeah. Very, very crazy. So I really enjoyed that piece. I feel like it'd be good back matter. But
there's too many words here, so I'm just like meh.
I read like, I remember. The first two and I'm like, okay, there's some cool statistics, but I don't think I read all the way to the end because it was like a rehash of the first trade. So but anyway,
right.
Let's get into it. So I wrote issue one, but it's not issue one. Was this like issue six?
Six.
Okay. So they're trying to get out of Boston. So York makes a trade to allow himself, 355, and Dr. Mann access onto a train cart. And they have some quiet time there where we kind of learn a little bit more about each of these characters. But meanwhile, York's sister Hero is doing some cult Amazonian shit because she's like part of that whole group now.
Mm-hmm.
And we see her getting manipulated and stuff by the cult leader Victoria, who keeps like rewarding Hero with food to like manipulate her further.
Yeah, because everyone's like starving and she's just got these snacks.
Yeah, she got some
power bars.
Yeah, for like the star student, you know, or whatever. Like Victoria's right. Like, don't tell anybody about these power bars that I've given you.
Yeah.
So she's kind of, Victoria's just using food and stuff and like kind of safety and security as a way to recruit people to this Amazon cult.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty good. But I think these like first few pages do a really good job of reintroducing me to the story, because it's just like when Yorick 355 and Dr. Mann get on the train, they kind of talk about what their goals are and then they kind of talk about themselves, and I'm kind of like reintroduced to them because I haven't read the first trade since we did the episode, which is like dozens of weeks ago.
Right. Yeah. It was easy to pick this up.
Yeah. So like, I've read this trade before. I think this is as far as I got into Why the Last Man.
I was about to ask like if you've read the whole thing, because I definitely have some questions, but that will probably be answered like later.
I think I read a couple issues beyond this trade, but nothing too far.
Yeah. I want to get the omnibus, you know?
I know. I want to as well. Like, I want to read all of it because it is like really engaging and I love,
like, I would blow through it because like this reads awesome.
Yeah,
like
it's so quick. It reads like a Robert Kirkman story where there's like
mm-hmm. It's not dense. Pacing is just incredible.
There's nothing like confusing going on. Like
Brian K. Vaughan, Jeff Lemire, and like Robert Kirkman are all like perfect at that.
Yeah.
And to where like everything I read is just like blow through because it's good. And then it's also just paced like to where I keep attention.
It almost feels like the idea like writes itself in like a way. So like you are very interested in like the world, but you're also interested in like these characters, and there's no like captions or anything going on where like you're hearing what's going on inside people's heads.
And
it's not like too like literary or anything either. Like, which, you know, there are comics for those people, like in Lucifer, like there's a lot of symbolism and stuff like that in there, but this is just like simple apocalypse, you know?
and
that's very attractive to me.
These are the comics I really vibe with.
Yeah.
And like Lucifer is something that's like, this is for people who like read books almost.
Yeah.
You know, people who like read books would
people
be
that
like,
are smarter than us.
Yeah. People people read books would read Lucifer and be like, wow, I'm just flying through this, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They're like, I love this kind of shit.
They read pages with no pictures.
Yeah, I know.
And that's outrageous to me.
Unbelievable.
Does anyone know? Email in. If you know of any books that are kind of written like comics that I just aren't very dense and every word is like important, you know?
Yeah.
I need something like that. It'll probably be mostly children's books, but I don't care.
Well, like my two best friends are big normal book readers with no pictures, and they've like recommended stuff to me, but
war books, isn't he?
No, he reads like a lot of alien books and like sci-fi stuff, some Halo, some like books, so like some Chernobyl based books. It was based off like a video game too, but
I don't know, reading something based off of like Halo seems like it'd be like dull, I guess.
There's some interesting parts in the universe, I think,
for sure.
Like, remember Halo Reach?
Yeah,
there's books like about Noble Team and stuff like that.
So I didn't play Reach, but I remember it.
Oh my god, that's such a great game. Anyway, doesn't matter,
I didn't do much after 3.
But if you know like a good simple book that like really draws you in, but it's not too like fluffy, I guess, with the amount of words and descriptions, I guess. I don't know.
You know what? Charles Soule, that book that he wrote, The Oracle Year.
Yeah.
That's really good for that, actually.
Oh, okay,
I remember
cool.
reading it. I only got like halfway through it and then just kind of stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I like was uninterested, just because I stopped and
you're like,
up,
there's not one picture in here yet.
Yeah, there's no pictures, but like it feels like someone's telling me a story, you know, like if you were to tell me something that happened.
Yeah.
And there's not like someone's like trying to write a book, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
He's really good at that, so I'd pick up anything that he writes.
He's come out with more novels.
He wrote the Star Wars one, and then he had like another original thing.
It was like another apocalypse based one, I think,
probably.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd fuck with that.
Yeah. Anyway, why the last man? But back on the train, the three of them are met by some goons that are looking for payment to ride on the train tracks. So there's like a fight that sort of breaks out between them, which causes York to fall out of the train cart. And then 355 has to push Dr. Mann out of the train cart so that they could go and get York. And Dr. Mann's like really scared to jump out of this train. But I feel like I would jump out of a train, you know? It doesn't seem like
that scary. It depends
on
how fast it's going. I don't know. Like,
we don't have a good gauge of how fast it's going. So I guess that's true.
Because like when you're on it, like looking at a train going, it doesn't seem like it's going that fast. But I think if you're on it and you have to jump into like grass. That might not be that bad.
Yeah, if it was dirt, you get like a solid scrape on your knee.
Like, I don't think I'd even feel very comfortable jumping out of like a car that's going like 10 miles per hour.
But when I look at trains here in Arizona, which probably go very slow, I feel like I could jump out of that, you know?
Sure.
But if it's like in the middle of like just like where there's no civilization, almost, where it seems like here it's in like Ohio,
right?
Maybe it's going a bit faster.
It's probably not that bad. Yeah.
But anyway, I would jump out of a train.
Because her glasses weren't even scratched.
Yeah, she was fine.
Easy.
And then to close out the issue, Hero overhears that this mysterious man that the Amazons are hunting was traveling with a monkey, which, you know, not a lot of men have monkeys in general. So she thinks, like, is this my brother?
Mm-hmm.
And then we see Yorick the next morning unconscious in Maryville, Ohio, and is discovered by a local over there. So another woman is like, is that a man? And it's like, oh, fuck. So I really like I think one of the obvious things in this book is like how many people discover that there's like another man living. And that's always like really exciting.
Yeah. I'm always like, fuck, dude.
I know. I'm like, this is a shitty situation.
We had it so tight like at first, like three people. That's super fucking solid. Yeah.
But then like, and it's not like he did anything wrong either. He was just trying to survive, and then he fell out and was unconscious and then happened to get found. So it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
That's just unfortunate, you know?
He could have done better with fighting, but yeah, he didn't throw himself out the train.
Maybe going for a tackling move like he did here wasn't the best situation.
You got to fucking 300 kick him, you know?
Maybe go Spartan for a kick. Yeah, exactly. So, but I really like that the artist, her name's Pia Guerrera. I think her line work is like really incredible. Like it feels like almost similar to like Derek Robertson from like The Boys kind of deal.
Where yeah, it's like, the way like faces are.
Yeah, it's like very confident lines, and she knows when and when not to like shade in order to set the tone for like a particular panel. So everything is communicated like really concisely.
Does she do like everything?
She does everything. Or I don't think she does the colors, because I feel like the colors change on the last issue, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, she does inks, and that's like really impressive because they are super solid.
Yeah, the inks are really good. But she also does this thing where if like the lighting is behind the characters, she's good with shading like the middle of their silhouette and like leaving their outlines to be colored, which I think creates like a really cool style. So like, for example, this one where like all of them are talking, like the lighting source is like behind them, but they're still coloring in like their overall outlines. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it looks like Jose Marzan Jr. is the inker.
Okay. He's great.
Then Clem Robbins is a letterer, and Pamela Rambeau is a colorist.
Was there a different colorist for issue 10?
I don't know.
Okay. It looked like it changed up a little bit for me, but I'm not sure.
Well, you should stop paying so much attention to things.
So issue 7, Dr. Mann wakes up from the train jump and finds that Agent 355 is next to her and bleeding from her head because she landed on a rock when she jumped out. So very unlucky there. There's like,
I thought she was fucking dead.
Dude, I thought she was dead.
And I was about to cry. I was like, no, dude, this can't happen right now.
It's like very scary like that. So immediately you're drawn in. You're like, fuck, dude.
I'm like, it's only issue 7, man.
And I'm like, she's the only one that knew what she was doing.
She's the best character.
I know. So I'm like, fuck. And then it turns out that she is alive, but like definitely very hurt and bleeding out. So Dr. Mann is tasked with leaving her there to find help for her, but more importantly, to find Yorick, who they don't know where he's at this point. But meanwhile, Yorick wakes up in a bed completely naked, and there's the girl that found him there named Sonia, and he kind of freaks out, and then they talk for a bit, but they also kind of make like a little bit of a connection there as well.
Yeah, they like music or something.
Yeah, kind of weird that he's naked, you know? It's a bit...
That means she had to take his pants off, you know?
It's a bit sus, yeah.
A little sus.
But I really like this page of Yorick coming back to consciousness, because it's like, it starts out with the whole room being like kind of black, and then like eventually through four panels, it like makes the shape of Sonia's face.
Right.
So I think that that's like a really fun effect as well. But I also really like that moment when Dr. Mann goes to check on Agent 355, and she realizes that she's okay when Dr. Mann asks for her name, and 355 says it's classified.
Yeah.
So Dr. Mann's like, all right, good girl.
Yeah.
So I thought that part was pretty funny. Also, we see some Yorick ass cheek.
Yeah. You like that, Nathan?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
He's got firm.
I'm always shocked to see some cheeks for some reason.
It's so funny.
Because
they're not detailed very well. They're just like kind of two little like semicircles.
Yeah. Or whatever. Like 2cc, like a cc on there. And like, I don't know why. It's just like, I never expect to see cheeks.
Yeah.
But then it's just like, he's just straight up naked. Yeah.
Then the Amazons find the lady that gave the whole group passage onto the train. So they're like, we kind of know that they're closing in on Yorick. Yorick tries to leave Sonia to find the rest of his group, but finds out that Sonia told the rest of her community of dozens of people about Yorick, and she told them already because it was too hard to keep a secret. So Sonia's with this community of people, but he's surprised to see that this community has fully working electricity and everything, which he hasn't seen in weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And he meets the leader of this whole group, Lydia, who's like an older woman that, you know, back in her day in 42, she had to like do all the work because all the fellas were gone in the war or whatever, as she says.
Yeah.
So she's kind of, she knows how to like, she's very like, oh yeah, women had to survive on their own already and stuff. So I really like Lydia as a character.
Yeah. She's definitely like,
she's like a sassy Nana and like, we'll set bitches straight kind of deal.
Yeah, definitely. Cause there definitely are like women out there that are like going to be really well versed in these sort of things.
Yeah. They're going to be fine in the situation.
You smell that?
Yeah, it smells like chicken or something.
Yeah, like a soup, maybe.
Good soup. And then Dr. Mann shows up and explains that they have to go help save 355. So, and then Hero from the Amazons finds the two people that scraps them out of the, like, out of the train, and confirms that it is Yorick that is the last man alive, you know, her brother. And then we're left with the cliffhanger that this contained city has a dirty little secret. So very interesting.
Hiding something.
So I think Brian K. Vaughan is really good at making a volume like feel like its own contained chapter or like story. Because like this civilization of people are clearly like chapter two, like the start of chapter two in like this overall story.
Right.
Or like this trek to go to California and like leave Boston kind of deal.
Yeah, that's always good for like issue reading or like the trade to trade reading.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope it's not too like formulaic. If you're trying to read like the whole thing, you know, if it's like there's just like 10 parts, I guess.
Yeah, like 10 little segments.
Yeah, as long as it's all kind of feels fluid and it's all under this overarching plot.
Yeah.
You know,
it feels to me like a season of like a TV show, because typically like at the season finale or whatever, there's something that changes the kind of format of the show, but there's still like those long existing characters where they're like growing and and finding out more about them. But this feels like it would be like a season, like, you know how like in The Walking Dead there'd be like the season on the farm or whatever,
or the season in the prison,
or the season where they're walking on a train track that's really boring, that's a bad season.
Right.
But yeah, they're like segmented like that, and it makes it easy to follow, I feel like. So yeah, issue
eight.
So Hero tells the Amazon leader, Victoria, that Yorick is the man that they've been hunting, and they're related. And then Victoria manipulates and convinces her that they need to rid Mother Earth of all man. And I really like a lot of Victoria's like dialogue, because she has a lot of those like women power sort of phrases, like Mother Earth and shit like that. So she ends up convincing Hero that she needs to kill Yorick to just kill all men, basically. But back with Yorick, 355 is now safe in a bed in the town and is going to survive. But while she's all loopy, 355 confesses that she wants Yorick, which is a bit of a surprise there as well.
Yeah, like...
romantically?
Sexually.
Sexually, yeah. And then Yorick at the time was gathering firewood with Sonya. There's another funny thing that Victoria says, and she's like calling semen poison to all the sisters. And like whenever I read that, it just kind of makes me chuckle a little bit, because it's like, I mean, semen created you,
right?
You know, so it's like, it's just weird that that's like the propaganda or whatever that she's throwing out.
Yeah, I mean, like they barely know that there's a dude out there. You know, they're just like, you know, have just heard about it. People could be wrong.
Yeah.
And then she's still got all this like shit that she's throwing at them.
Yeah. But what would they do if like there wasn't another man? If they didn't have to hunt another man, would they
just basically
like,
just die eventually?
Yeah, I guess. Or, well, I mean, I guess like all women would.
Yeah, because there are like geneticists, right? But like, what do you do at that point? I mean, I think in the show they talk about like a sperm bank.
Yeah.
So potentially that can continue the population, but we don't know if like you don't just kill babies like instantly once they're born.
So basically,
and there's like a reason he's still alive.
There's like a limited amount of time from all the men dying to like finding a cure, where they have to like figure out, because eventually that whole generation.
Because we don't really know if it's like an airborne virus thing or if it just something happened that day.
Yeah,
that caused all of it.
Just a fluke, you know, a glitch in the matrix or whatever.
Right, right. Someone controls the eat or something and kill all the men.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we just, like, don't know. So, it's, like, to be so arrogant to think, like, oh, we'll be fine.
We'll just make more, you know.
Yeah, we'll just make more, which could be disastrous.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if you ever do find out, like, what happened. I'm sure you do.
You gotta, dude.
You
it's
have
a 60-issue series, like, and
but I mean,
they have
like,
a scientist
now. You don't know.
I bet if I Googled it, I could find it.
But don't.
I don't want to, exactly.
Yeah.
I want to buy the omnibus and just read it all.
I want to either read it or find out from the show. I feel like this is like a series though where I should like commit time like between trades, normal comics, and like in normal comics, I should like read like one or two issues of this like a week until I finish it.
I read this like trade in like maybe 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's very quick.
I could probably knock out the rest of it in like a day if I just like
dedicated a day. Yeah.
Yeah, but this is what I'm doing on Saturday.
And like, you know, it's going to be good. Like, it's going to be worth it to like buy the rest of it, you know.
Yeah, and I've enjoyed it every time I've read it. It's not like it's gonna get sour or anything.
There's like exciting things that happen like every issue where I'm like, oh fuck.
Yeah, look who we're talking about here. You know?
Yeah. So anyway, while Yorick and Sonya are alone together, they're gathering firewood. They talk for a bit and they get to know each other a little bit more.
They almost smash.
Yorick shows her a sweet magic trick to get the ladies, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They eventually lead up to a kiss. But Sonya pulls away from it, saying that they can't do this, and confesses that the whole city is a community of prison inmates that got released when all the men died. And then they migrated to the closest city from the prison.
I don't know why that's a good enough reason not to smash, though.
Yeah, I know. You like, why is that the thing that's like in her head? You
right.
Know, you could tell them after you smash.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you've never been thinking about this for a minute,
yeah.
You think.
But I really like the tension that like leads up to the kiss between Yorick and Sonya. Like, it's very good because you kind of want them together because it seems like they're a good fit, but you kind of don't morally because Yorick is like still trying to find Beth
right.
at the same time. And it's like, is it cheating if you're like literally the only last man? Yes, it is. But but I mean, that's like an impossible kind of situation because you don't even know if Beth is alive at this point. You know, she's in Australia. How the hell are you going to get to Australia?
Yeah, I know.
So it's like he's kind of in a tough position.
She thinks he's dead, so she could have like a girlfriend at this point.
Yeah, she could be smashing other women.
Exactly.
So fuck you, Beth.
Because like what I like about this book is like you think like being the last man on Earth
would be a sick gig.
You just get all this ass.
Yeah.
But actually, York's people are trying to kill you.
Yeah.
Because they think it's like a fluke or some sort of conspiracy.
Yeah.
And honestly, that seems overwhelming to just be this like sex machine in order to reproduce. Like, you're truly only for reproducing.
Yeah.
Could be fun, but also very tiring.
But they just want you for your body. And, you know, where's the romance? You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Just because you're the last man alive for some reason, does that mean that you can't have a love life with one person?
Yeah. Like,
what does that mean?
No foreplay for this guy.
Yeah.
Because he just got
to. Gets right to it.
Exactly.
He's got to drink a lot of Gatorade just to constantly bang.
His balls are probably bruised every day.
Yeah, it'd be unreal.
Like, he'd probably never get a blowjob again.
No, never.
Because he really just has to do intercourse.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
Like, girls would have to, like, take a number or whatever.
Yeah.
And be like, all right. I'm
like,
on.
He's the fucking deli or something.
Like, all right, number 37.
There's got to be, like, a safe number and also in order times to, like, a safe number of times to smash a day in
yeah.
order for, like, seeming to be, like, effective, you know? Because it's got to, like, reproduce it, you know?
Yeah.
You can't just go back to back.
Like, if everybody was on the same page and they were like, we need this guy to bang as many people as possible. But then, like, that wouldn't even work, I think, for reproduction.
Because they have to be, like, ovulating, I think, in order for it to work.
Well, I don't know anything about that.
Pregnant.
But I'm saying,
neither
like, if they do make children, then all of the next generation of children
would be half
brothers
York. Or half, like, siblings.
Yeah, half siblings.
So then that could cause
unless
like
they smashed,
inbredness
or unless
whatever.
They smashed like an older generation of people.
Oh,
like that didn't have anything to do with
okay.
York. I guess that would work then.
Wait, no yeah, that would work.
Yeah,
but then like everyone's like uncle is like their brother.
Yeah, it's very strange. This would just be a bad situation. I think we can all agree.
Or their dad would be their cousin or their half brother. Just like real Game of Thrones shit. I'm sure there's a calculated mathematical way to go about this in order to repopulate the world.
Yeah,
but it sounds really fucking hard because that's like 3 billion people, and who knows who has STDs, you know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
So
it would have to be very structured.
If you smash the first person who has an STD and you just give it to the rest of the world,
is that even an STD at that point? If everybody has it,
well, what if it's like one of the bad ones where like they die and then you just kill another half of the population?
Even more people. That'd be bad.
Oh, there's so many things that could go wrong. And think about, it's not like he can.
There's so many.
Because he wouldn't use condoms because he's trying to get them pregnant.
Yeah, true.
Is there a safe way to?
He could just jack off a bunch.
That's a lot of jerking off.
Yeah,
he just
true.
Have this jacked right arm. Unless he's ambidextrous.
Imagine the amount of post nut clarity this guy would be under. He would be like a philosopher in his own right.
He would come up with a cure.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh
with
God.
How clear his mind is. That's funny.
I could probably talk about this for a minute.
Undeniably, it would be a very bad situation.
And then he'd have to, but that he can also rule out a lot of women because like menopause and stuff like that. It's good. Not all women are fertile.
Yeah.
So, and what would also suck is like all the people who just don't get pregnant when it's their turn.
Yeah. It's like, what, you just wasted.
Because some people have to try like multiple times. Like
yeah.
It doesn't just happen the first time.
There's a lot of logistics here.
Is there something that you can like drink like a
milk,
like a. Milk to
no.
Oh, I was like,
I don't know.
That makes sense.
Have you seen that? Like, I forget who the comedian was, but maybe it's like I forget who the comedian was, but he said that he had a friend who thought milk would like help him produce more like sperm or like semen so he could go like for a round two. And then he made like a really funny joke where it's like, you'd think just because it's like white, like your body will just be like, oh, yep, that's white. Yep, put it right through. And I thought that was a really funny joke.
It's like milk and marshmallows or something.
Like, oh, yep, yeah, that works. Just put it, we need something, you know.
Yes, fuel.
But yeah, anyway, logistically, this would be a really tough situation. A nightmare. But Yorick wants one person, but also, like, there's cults and stuff involved, so it's never going to work.
Right. I mean,
so anyway, there's this whole community of people that used to be prison inmates, and they migrated from the closest prison to the city. And then Yorick immediately goes back and tells 355 and Dr. Mann and then everybody else that was in that house.
Yeah, she's like, please don't tell anybody. So, and like, then he's like, they're criminals.
Yeah, the next panel literally is like, they're all criminals. So York's like the biggest snitch of all time.
Yeah.
And like, what difference is it going to make? Why do you need to like tell everybody? But then like there's a couple pages where
I thought the secret or whatever was gonna be like way bigger. Like they fucking eat people or something.
Right.
Like that's where my mind goes just because I'm conditioned from The Walking Dead, I guess.
Well, this community of people are like sketched out about York's group because he mentioned that 355 was a government person.
Yeah.
And so since they're all prisoners, technically they're worried that a government person's gonna try and mandate them in some way because they are still prisoners technically that have to serve time or whatever. So that's why that they were trying to keep themselves a secret. But I really like this fucking line from Lydia that's like super fucking cold where York's like, what did you do? Did you kill somebody? And then Lydia is like, yeah, my husband. And I don't regret it for a goddamn second. Yeah. And I'm like, hell yeah, Lydia. You probably did you wrong. But yeah, so then Yorick goes back. He tells everybody. And then Hero shows up and says Yorick needs to come with her or the Amazons are going to slaughter everyone in this town.
Bo aimed at him.
Yeah. Bo cocked and ready, if that's the word for it.
Was her titty cut off?
Yeah.
That's so brutal.
Because like,
it doesn't seem like it's even helping.
Maybe.
I mean, because if it's up to your chin, like the bow, and then it's also like,
it's like the drawstring, I think.
The jaw?
They're the bowstring, whatever you want to call it.
Like, if you look at just like this picture,
it doesn't look like the titty would get in the way that much.
It is like kind of,
but if you had to aim,
a symbol or whatever, of whatever they're doing, but it seems drastic.
Yeah.
Like, how do they get sterile things in order to do this properly and like not get infected?
I don't know.
Those loopholes I just think about.
But I feel like there's, in this issue specifically, there's a big jump between when Hero finds out that Yorick is still alive and then finding like his exact location.
In the exact house?
Yeah, in the exact house.
Yeah.
But it is like exciting. This is like an exciting moment because this is the first time Hero and Yorick are seeing each other mm-hmm. since the gender side, right?
Right.
So that's just a cool word. I like this.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is just like a big moment. So you're like, fuck, got to read the next one immediately, you know? So yeah, Hero shows up and she shows that she is like serious about taking Yorick. She punches him in the face for one. But she's also calling him like a male instead of calling him Yorick. She's like, I got to get the male, you know?
Yeah.
And so there's also all the Amazons outside. And then Victoria gives like a pretty solid speech from like outside the house about how much she respects this community of women. And then also trying to convince them to like give up Yorick. But even after like that speech, the women in the community decide to protect Yorick. But I think like I think Victoria is like, she's fucking good at giving speeches.
Yeah, there's a reason she's like a in her leader. Position. Yeah.
Like she's literally spitting facts.
Right.
Like there's a part where she's like, fact, those of you who killed your husband serve prison terms twice as long as men who killed their wives.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucked up. Like I kind of agree with her there, you know.
I was like, yeah, you know what, kill him.
Yeah. And then fact, most of you were in for economic crimes, literally stealing to feed your families, but while you rotted in prison, men who embezzled billions went free. And I'm like, that's a good point too, you know.
Yeah, you know what, men suck.
Yeah. And then like there's a bunch of like different facts like that that I'm like, man, men are the worst, aren't we? Like,
yeah, it shows. So I also like that Maryville doesn't like give him up. Like it shows like a lot of character for them.
Yeah,
even though he just like slandered them for being,
yeah, he snitched like 5 minutes criminals. Ago but they're yeah. still like, yeah, well, we need to protect him, you know. Doesn't mean he should die,
right?
But I also really like this line from Victoria that kind of ends it, and she's like, because once you make it past the scales and the blindfold, justice is a woman with a sword. And that's a fucking dope line
what
too.
What the fuck does that mean?
You know, like the symbol for justice, it's like a woman with like a little scale or whatever and she's blindfolded.
Oh, yeah. It's like that's a Metallica justice. Album.
Yeah, exactly. That's justice. So that's what she's like referencing there. So pretty cool.
Right? If I was there, I'd be like, what does that mean?
I'm like,
they're like, you remember the Metallica album and Justice about, for All?
Yeah, Justice
they're
for
like,
All. It's a good album.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that was like the symbol for justice. I thought that was just something an album artist made.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. It's a cool statue,
teaching
man.
Teaching about Metallica lore.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, pretty cool. But like Victoria's like top five apocalyptic cult leaders for me, easily. Top three, maybe.
Oh, yeah. What's the number one?
Negan.
Okay, number two?
Victoria. Number three, maybe like the guy from Mad Max.
Oh,
he's pretty good.
Big Al or something.
I don't know if his name is Big Al
or Big Joe, something like that.
That's definitely not any of those.
Hold on. I'll look it up.
He's like, it's me, Big Joe.
Mad
with my skull mask.
Mad Max, bad guy.
Big Al.
Yeah, there he is. What's his Immortan Joe?
Immortan?
Immortan or Immortal Joe. Something
Immortal
like that.
Immortal Joe. That sounds cooler, you know? It's not
still Joe.
Immortan Joe.
Immortan Joe. Yeah, I knew it was Joe or something.
It's a dumb name.
But he's like fat, so I'm like, Big Joe.
Yeah. So yeah. But yeah, Victoria's a really good cult leader. Like, I want to do like a... Like, there's a lot of like really good cult leader characters, you know? Like, it'd be interesting to see like somebody's top 10, you know, cult leaders in fiction or whatever.
Do you remember King Ezekiel from Walking Dead?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the tiger.
There's also the governor. From The Walking Dead?
The governor. I guess those, I don't know, do those all count as like cults? They're like kind of more leader. Like communities.
Maybe like, yeah. But there's still like cult leaders in like apocalypses that are pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. There is Chris Hemsworth played like a cult leader in this movie called Bad Times at the El Royale.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a really good movie. Yeah, mm-hmm. He wasn't that good. Like a cult leader who's just manipulating Canadian. Women. But
yeah. So anyway, Hero... After hearing that like the community people are going to protect York, Hero leaves the house to tell Victoria, and the women in the house try to come up with a plan to have York escape, but because the town is like against weapons, they don't have anything to fight the Amazons with. That was like one of their rules as like prisoners. They were like, we can't have any weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So because of this, York wants to give himself up for the safety of the community, and then he kisses Sonya again to go turn himself in. Couple things here. When York kisses Sonya... The second time, it's funny because when you look at the background characters, they're just like, for fuck's sake, man. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, like, oh, my God.
They're like, this is awkward. Like, Dr. Man, like, has her face in her, like, her hand and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, something I just appreciate about the whole series is that it must take, like, so much effort to draw Ampersand in, like, every scene, even though he's not, like, contributing at all. But he's, like, always there.
Oh, yeah. He's, like, on like every Dr. Man's shoulder.
Yeah, in this one. And, like... His face is always like, holy fuck, like, what's happening? Like, there's this really funny panel where you just see, like, full-faced Ampersand. He's like, oh, fuck. So, I really just appreciate that Pia Guerrero, like, draws in Ampersand and, like, doesn't forget about him. And there's, like, continuity.
Yeah.
With, like, where he's chilling.
Yeah, you don't want to, like, forget about him.
Yeah, exactly. So, York goes out, tries to convince Hero that, you know, they're still siblings or whatever, but it doesn't work. And then York is on his knees... And Victoria is about to shoot him point blank in the face. But just as it's about to happen, she gets an axe thrown at her face from Sonya. And then Hero shoots Sonya with her bow and arrow, causing Sonya to bleed out in York's arms. And then York takes the gun and draws it on Hero. And that's how that issue ends. So some shit doesn't just hit the fan. It has like a whole fucking fight with the fan, you know? Like there's a bunch of shit that just happens right here.
Axe throwing? That's so fucking cool.
I know. That's the coolest way to kill somebody, honestly.
Probably. Because like...
That's a full-on axe, dude.
What if the fucking handle hit her head?
It's... Yeah. It's bunk. Like,
yeah, because like...
She'd be like, oh, fuck. That really hurt.
It's not one of those things like a ninja star, like it's gonna stick kind of thing.
Yeah. You have to be like
she's
a
done
certain,
that shit before.
You need to be like a certain distance away. For that to like
work. I would not feel confident in like saving him,
and it's like right in her temple too.
Yeah,
so like she's dead. Like if it hit her in the shoulder, like York would probably still be alive and Victoria would be alive, but that like hit her in the face.
How is Sonya better with an axe than Thor? That's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane.
She aimed for the head.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so really cool scene though. Just the one thing that I don't understand is when Sonya's like bleeding out. She said, I saw this documentary once on TV. It was about lions. They said that lions, and then she dies.
She's probably going somewhere with that. But I kind of like that because whenever people, like, are dying and they need to get, like, one last word, they always you know, say what they want to say, but they don't actually know when they're going to die because they're bleeding out or whatever.
Right.
Or their organs are shutting down.
But why does she, there's no context.
There might have been
anything about lions.
Well, no, but like there's probably something about, I don't know, lions protecting somebody or something like that.
As like a pack kind of, or whatever, maybe
to kind of justify what she did, but she didn't get to explain why.
I just hope that that comes full circle later.
Probably won't, because that's like real storytelling. That's like more realistic storytelling,
I guess. But at the same time,
because if I got shot with the arrow, I don't know how much time I have.
What are you going to talk about my octopus teacher?
She thought that she could.
Like, if I get shot with an arrow, I'm not going to be like, dude, the third season of Titans, it was really like, and then just die, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to be like, this sucks and it really hurts.
Like, this is your fault. Can I be saved? I don't know. That looks like my heart.
Yeah.
So
this arrow's really deep in me. I don't know if I'll make it, but you should really catch up on this show, you know?
I have some really bad heartburn right now. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, it was just, that was just a strange last line, but, you know, hopefully York watches that documentary. I don't know.
He didn't get the name of it.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's just going to watch every documentary about lions from now on.
When the internet is booted up again, he'll like, that'll be the first thing he searches.
Yeah, just lions. So anyway, last issue, issue 10.
Let's pause there. I have to pee really bad.
Oh my God.
I don't mean to do this.
Daniel, can you apologize to the people for this bathroom break that I'm going to edit out later?
I'm sorry, everybody. I wet the bed a lot, and so I'm just like not very good with my bowels.
You wet the bed with shit?
What? No.
Your bowels or your shit?
Sorry, my bladder.
That took me.
You don't shit the bed.
Yeah, it's just that normal thing everybody does when they shit the bed.
You know how like you can subscribe to things on Amazon for have it reshipped? I just do that with sheets.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, like every week.
Yeah, it's like a subscription plan if you shit the bed a lot.
It's super expensive.
It's okay. I tweeted in the meantime, so it's fine.
What did you tweet?
I don't know. Listeners, go look at my Twitter.
Did you tweet the meme I sent you?
No. I will, though. I will.
Hell yeah.
So anyway, issue 10.
You said it was like the dumbest shit you've ever seen.
It was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Like, and I was like, oh,
let's
my
go.
God.
I saw someone else do that concept, but I like...
You steal it, you know?
I stole it, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's the only good kind of content.
Yeah, stolen.
So issue 10. Hero is saying some weird shit about Victoria, telling them why all the men died, like as if Victoria knew. And then she's always like, she was telling Yorick how Dad liked him more, and then challenges Yorick to pull the trigger. So Yorick eventually stops himself and says that Dad always liked her better, which is a cool scene, I guess.
Sure.
And then Yorick decides to let the convict town decide what to do with the Amazons. Like, he's not going to make that choice for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hero tells Dr. Mann that they were not the ones to burn down her lab like she originally thought. Because Dr. Right. Mann this whole time thought it was the Amazons that were trying to, like, stop this research. But it wasn't. It's just a mysterious third party.
Mm-hmm.
There's an interesting thing about the scene where Yorick has the gun on Hero.
Yeah.
The last page before the, like, splash page, there's, like, a click of the gun, like, in the lettering. And I'm not sure if that's because there's no bullets in the gun or if it's Yorick, like, disarming the gun.
I think he's cocking it.
Is he, like...
Okay. Or uncocking it?
Is it called disarming? I don't know gun terms, but...
Probably.
Yeah, so... Or putting on the safety or whatever.
No, you know that thing you pull back to cock it?
The hammer?
The hammer, yeah. Maybe you put it back?
I don't think this gun has a hammer. Yeah, it kind of does.
Kind of does. I don't know.
But anyway.
I've never held a gun. Like, I don't know anything about this.
Also, it's a very weird statement that Hero says, like, that she knows why all the men died, but doesn't, like, elaborate. I assume it's, like, cult shit. Like,
yeah.
Being like, oh, Mother Earth chose to destroy all the men because they suck dick or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, not because they suck dick, but they're they're bad people.
They suck.
Yeah. So, like, it was just weird that she didn't elaborate on that a little bit more. Because what if
yeah,
she does?
Yeah, it's obviously, like, the...
It's obviously, like, cult things.
Yeah, like
propaganda,
the not like ignorance, the arrogance from yeah. like what she's been fed.
Exactly. So then, like, right after that, we get a hard cut to Massachusetts, where Alter is. So Alter is like the mysterious Israeli military character that we don't really know much about yet, but she was kind of in the first trade a lot, if you remember.
Yeah, she was the one that blew up the lab, right?
I think so, yeah.
And then,
but she's the
we
one
don't know who hired her or anything.
Exactly. So Alter is talking to the American, as she refers to that person, and the American is a different person that is able to tell Alter the exact location of Yorick Brown, like calls him his full name and says that he's in Maryville. So now Alter is like flying there via helicopter. Mm-hmm. So that whole thing, I'm like, what the hell's going on here?
Because
it feels like this mysterious American, it looks like a man to me.
Because we just see like a shoulder.
We only see the arm and like the hand. But what makes me think that is that it's in a brown suit. And like, I don't think any self-respecting woman would ever wear a brown suit, you know?
That's fair. Yeah.
But at the same time, if it was a woman, you'd think we'd see like the back of her head at least.
It kind of looks like feminine hands, if you ask me.
A little bit, yeah. But that's not like enough to go off of. So
then on the door of like the office that they are working in is the United States Secret Service crest or whatever, or logo.
So maybe 355 knows who Alter is potentially.
Probably.
Or at least who this person is.
Yeah, we don't know who this person is.
Yeah. But anyway. So that's just kind of like a cliffhanger to get elaborated on later. And then back with Yorick, 355 is back to health, and she helps Yorick cut his hair. I liked his hair. I don't know why he wanted to cut it, but...
Yeah, it's not too much of an issue, but...
She explains that the city is detaining all the Amazons and releasing them slowly as they are ready to go back into society, but... When she says that, we cut to Hiro in her cell, and she chokes up a key, which is like a trick that Yorick once taught her as like a kid.
Gross.
So she's got a key for her cell, so that's bad. But it's a pretty cool setup, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ends with Yorick, 355, and Dr. Man getting on another train that's heading to California. So I like how... there's one more scene, but I'll get to that in a second. But I like how Dr. Man makes Yorick look stupid there for a sec, because Yorick's talking about, like... He's like wondering if Beth is like looking at the same stars as him. And then Dr. Man's like, well, she wouldn't be because she's on like a different hemisphere of the planet.
Yeah, it's like daytime there or something.
Yeah, it's like daytime over there. And I'm like, ha, get fucked, Yorick.
Or I guess like when, because Australia's just in like a different spot on the Earth, they just see like different constellations, I think.
Yeah. So they like wouldn't see the same stuff. So,
or the Earth rotates. So, yeah, based on like what they look at,
based on the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
it wouldn't be the same ones.
So I just think that that's funny. But then, and this is a potential big show spoiler, so if you're not trying to have the show spoiled, I don't know why you're listening to this, but to close out the trade, we cut to 220 miles above the Earth, and there's a satellite station thing in space that is running low on resources, I guess, and it has to return to Earth. But on that station, there's two men and another woman.
Astronauts.
Astronauts. Yep. So isn't that a dope fucking cliffhanger?
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
There's more men. It's not the last man. There's why the last men?
One of the last men.
Why is one of the last guys on Earth?
Yeah.
So yeah, pretty cool cliffhanger. And it tells us a lot like about the universe, I guess.
So it's got to be something about like in the air, something limited, like airborne.
Yeah. Limited on Earth. It's not like all existing things with the Y chromosome, you know?
Yeah. Because it was also like in the book, was it all like animals too?
Yeah, all animals.
Okay.
Yeah, and the first like issue, you see like a bunch of cows like dead and stuff like that. So it's like all living things that are males.
Yeah, because I was about to say, if like these dudes died like on the space station, like I don't know if there's like a way to like just eject them or whatever.
Yeah, but it also raises the question, like if you're in a vacuum sealed place, you know, where there's nothing like airborne that could get in, mm-hmm. would you still be alive?
Like a bunker or something?
Yeah, or is it more than that where it like isn't airborne and it goes through like walls and shit? Because you'd think if it was just airborne, people sitting in their house would be fine for like a little bit, but everybody died at like the same time.
Well, it seemed, I don't know if it was just like storytelling wise, but it seems like people were aware of other people dying, because like in the show, for example, like the
animals died first.
The animals died. The president was made aware of Israeli like leaders that had all died.
Mm.
And so then like a minute later, he dies.
It happens like very quickly.
So it's not like a snap and everyone's dead kind of thing.
Yeah, it's not a Thanos situation.
Not a Thanos situation, but it's like the same day, you know, within the hour kind of thing.
Pretty quick. But it's not like it's like carried in the wind, you know? So it'd be like a lot quicker than normal airborne diseases, I guess.
Right.
But that's just me talking out of my ass. I don't know how they work. But anyway, very good trade. Very good series. So let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
So we have a sketchbook from artist Pia Guerrera. And there's like a lot of preliminary character designs and sketches. So there's some interesting like early designs of Yorick. And there's some where he has like some stubble. There's some where he has short hair, which I don't like. But there's also like different ideas for the mask that he'd be wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And I ultimately, I like the one that they go with. And it's replicated very well in the show.
Oh, yeah.
But the gas mask is just like one big sort of visor rather than like two like eye hole visors.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that looks pretty cool.
I wonder if someone had like a gas mask on that entire day, they would have like survived.
I don't know. I don't think so, honestly. But then there's some of Beth and like them two together, which we don't see any Beth at all, actually, ever since the gender side. So who knows what she's doing? That's also like a really good mystery of this whole thing is like, what's Beth been up to kind of deal.
Right.
So there's like a lot of things, there's a lot of seeds that have been planted and it's just all very interesting, but
definitely
we see some hero designs as well. And there's really interesting like 355 designs as well, because she's kind of messing with like what kind of hairstyle she's going to have, like whether it's going to be just like short hair, cornrows, or like sort of short or long. And so there's like a lot of decision that had to be made there. It seems like
what's kind
of
cool is like the hair that she has in the book is different than like the show, obviously, but the hair that's in the show is also in the sketchbook.
Yeah, it is. That's what I noticed.
So it's not like out of character or anything. Like this is literally like an idea at one point.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think it looks really cool.
I think it looks great either way. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. We get some Dr. Mann sketches. It looks like she's almost like pregnant or something in this first sketch.
She's sitting down, Nathan.
Maybe she's just fat. I don't know. But no, I'm just kidding. Then there's some sketches of other people that I don't remember.
Just so like the reporter. Random people.
Yeah, random people. It seems like a lot of this would fit better in like the first trade, but maybe they had like more different stuff in the back matter.
Maybe this trade has like the same back matter as like the book one, like the first hardcover.
Yeah, maybe. So. And then there's a character in here which I don't even recognize. Her name is Helen, and she seems like a... It's like a small statue.
It's like a deity or something?
Yeah. Afghan... Of Afghan influence, I guess. So
maybe that'll come into play?
Yeah.
I don't remember that from...
And then some Amazon sketches where we see their titty cut out. So
like the one bra strap thing.
Yeah. Where would you even find those? Did they have to make those?
Probably.
I assume so.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, good back matter. Some sketches. I wish I could, like, because it seems like these are very quick sketches. This would be so fun if you could just sketch at this level, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like, you're just fucking around.
You're just, like, fucking around and you make, like, a really solid, like, character design. Just out of nowhere. Like, I hear, I remember Tom King tweeted one time that Joelle Jones, his, like, collaborator on Batman, but she also did, like, Catwoman and stuff.
Yes.
She just will draw while talking to people so that she has something to do with, like, her hands.
And that's crazy.
She's, like, talking to people but also drawing, and then I saw like a picture of the drawing because Tom King was just like blown away, and they are like honestly incredible drawings, like just like different character designs that she was just coming up with on the fly. So it's really, really cool skill.
When we met, I don't know if you were with me, but when I met David Finch,
no, I wasn't.
He was like drawing something, like some just some commissions or something, like pencil commissions, and he was like talking to me about like stuff. I was like telling him about like how much I liked his Bane in the I Am Bane storyline and shit like that, and he was just like talking to me. And cool. It was incredible.
Yeah, that seems like it'd be really difficult.
Yeah, can you imagine, you're just like if we were podcasting and I'm just like drawing like people.
This takes all my brain power just talking as is.
Yeah, I know.
It's unbelievable.
Very impressive.
But anyway, what would you rate this book?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
To me, it's a gotta have it.
It's a gotta have it. But I'd say something kind of low key, just because it is like kind of a volume two. It was very exciting for sure. But I think maybe just like a classic like coffee ice cream with like some Heath bars, maybe some like caramel drizzle.
Okay.
You know, delicious. Love it. But not like the most outrageous thing I could order.
I'm gonna say it's a gotta have it or no. Do they do cones at Cold Stone?
You can do the cone bowls.
Okay. I'm going to say it's just a large ice cream cone that you get from somewhere, but with two scoops, because it's the second volume of your favorite ice cream.
For sure. Do you remember going to like Water and Ice, where they had like that weird like cylinder scooper thing?
Yeah,
it
was
like
dope.
They just stabbed it and then like it would just stack really well.
And that's just like an optimal licking shape as well.
Yeah, you just lick in a circle basically.
Or you could like bite into it if you want.
Yeah.
If you're into that. I'm an ice cream biter.
Absolutely, dude. You ever get those like ice cream bars that are like fudge or something like that? Like the fudge sickles? I'll just
eat those whole. Those
and then like chew it. You know what I mean?
I mean, I would assume that you would.
Or you can do like a little thing where it's just like in your mouth, but you're not chewing it. You're just kind of like letting it melt in your mouth kind of thing.
That's weird.
Some people really have a problem with the biting thing.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Like, you're not like biting it, you're kind of like breaking off a piece with your teeth.
Yeah,
more like,
it's not like you're doing a full-on chomp, you're just like, you're sinking your teeth in a little bit, just enough to break off a piece.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully, I mean, some people really don't like biting ice cream. I don't know why
I'm like that with like blow pops too. Like I haven't had
a blow pop in forever, so
no, because they have like the gum in it. Once I start to feel the gum, I just chomp down.
For sure.
Like kind of like the fucking like owl from Tootsie Pops.
Yeah.
Like 1, 2, 3.
Takes three licks and then chomps it.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's go into the pull list. Colin, shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
And I had a light week for comics this week.
Yeah, not bad to this week.
I picked up Justice League Last Ride, number 5.
Mm-hmm. Told you there's more.
Yep. Primordial, I picked up.
Oh, that came out this week? Fuck.
It did. And I picked up the Christian Ward variant cover. So very excited about that. And then I picked up a third thing, which is... Oh, Bermuda. Bermuda number 3 came out.
Right.
So those are the only 3 things I picked up. But also when I went to the shop, I finally got my Spiral movie that I won on Free Comic Book Day, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to try and watch that this week at some point.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Get myself into like Halloween sort of spooky mode, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So. I don't know. Like, I know like Sophia doesn't really like jump scares. I don't think there was that much of that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you'd try to watch it with her, but like...
She doesn't like anything involving any horror, so...
No gore or anything like that?
Maybe. I don't know. She likes when... She likes watching like pimple popping videos, so maybe she's okay with gore.
Did she like watch like The Boys?
She would.
She would? Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I've showed her a couple episodes and she's like, we should watch this. And I'm like, we should. And then we just never do. So
I've been thinking about rewatching that. But yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's a good movie. I don't know if you should have like super high expectations for it, but
I don't.
Yeah. I had like pretty ground level ones and I'm like, that wasn't bad.
Cool. And then what were you going to pick up this week?
So I got basically the same thing as you, except Fantastic Four Life Story number 4. I've been picking that up. And then I think Rorschach 12 came out this week.
Oh, it did. But I fell off of that, so.
Yeah, I mean, since it, like, with those maxi series, I'm like, I'll just buy it all because I liked, like, the first issue or whatever.
Yeah.
And I like that character and then just kind of shotgun it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, I have it all just to make sure I have it.
You'll read it eventually, yeah.
Yeah, and I know I'll probably enjoy it. And then I also have been on the lookout for the crossover first trade.
Yeah.
And they had it at the shop. It was on the recommendations like list.
Very cool
thing. So I picked that up.
We should do a crossover. I think it'd be cool. We need to do more newer stuff, I think.
Yeah, we'll definitely do crossover. And I have the physical one now, so that'd be cool.
Very good. I read a couple comics this week. I've actually been like on a big Lemire catch up. So everything I read this week was Lemire.
I caught up on a lot of Lemire too.
So I read the first issue of Unbelievable Unteens.
Yeah.
And it's very fun.
It's so fun.
It's like kind of corny writing, but it's like supposed to be, you know?
Really? I didn't really think that.
Well, like, it's not like corny. I don't know. I guess corny. It's like a little bit campy, but campy. It's like it's supposed to be because it's like about, because I think it's just because it's so meta, like it, like that sort of.
Is it like predictable?
Theme? No.
Okay.
I just think that like with some of the dialogue that some of the characters are saying and stuff like that, but it's supposed to be because they're supposed to be like comic book characters,
right?
And with like the level of meta that it goes, like I'm reading a comic book about a comic book writer talking to her own characters, and then at one point you're reading a comic book within, oh god, the mic almost fell, but at one point you're reading the comic that the comic book writer in the show or in the book wrote,
yeah,
know? So you're like reading pages of a comic book in your comic book, and it's like supposed to be like that sort of Stan Lee vibe sort of deal where it's like,
yeah, like the pages of Golder and stuff, yeah, like that.
Exactly. So I really enjoyed it though, so I'm definitely gonna, I think I'm just gonna pick that one up digitally though, because I didn't see any of them in my shop.
I was really stoked to get the second one.
Yeah, I am too. I have it bought already, so I'm going to read it. But I also read May's book this last week as
well. I did too.
Really, really cool as well.
It seemed solid. It was set up, you know, a solid story. But why the fuck was this thing $5.99?
I don't know. It's worth it for me.
I don't know about all that. Like, I love Lemire's. I love Lemire shit, but anything that's over like $3.99,
that's always hard.
It's a little tedious.
It's a hard sell, but if you think about it, he did write and draw and paint it himself,
and he's done that with tons of stuff that wasn't $5.99.
Yeah, but I think this was an extra size issue as well. It was like 30.
It didn't seem that long. Honestly.
Well, yeah, because a lot of it's silent, but it was like 30 something pages, and it was nice paper too. At the same time, I don't know if you noticed, but I just noticed that the paper was really nice.
Like,
it's an exercise issue, so it's fine for me.
It didn't feel like the story was that long. Like, I didn't feel like I'm like, oh wow, I got like a lot of money's worth. But like, this would be like tough to pick up, especially if it's like long.
I don't know if the rest of them, maybe they will.
Maybe, like, we'll see.
I think when he announced it, he said that they were all going to be exercised.
Like, so. I get there's a lot that goes into like comic books, and like they're priced so that everyone's like. Properly
compensated.
But like, remember when like Rebirth happened and everything was $2.99?
Yeah, that was pretty banger.
That was fucking sick.
And then they dropped that a year.
Yeah, and I would have bought, and I did buy more shit because it was like, it seemed more reasonable to buy a bunch of $3 books.
Yeah.
But that just kind of bothered me.
Yeah. It was very good though.
It's good. Like, his artwork is great and he set up a good concept.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't like necessarily blown away by it because I guess I was kind of thinking about how good it would be, and it seems like it's on his level, you know.
Yeah,
so I don't think it's like,
I see that, but that it's like the
blows
kind of story,
the shit out of the water, you know.
Like, I know what Lemire's overall vibe is. It's like a character that is like a little bit of like a imperfect character.
Yeah,
and it sets up like a concept that, you know, you can, that you're kind of drawn to at the same time, and there's some weird like I don't know, like mystical or like trippy shit going on at like the same time. So it was like exactly what I wanted from like a Lemire book. So I really like it, and I'm excited for, because it seems like it was setting up sort of the point of the book, which is that it mainly looks like a maze,
right?
So we didn't get any of that in this issue, but I'm excited for that in the next issue.
Sure.
And then I read Primordial by him and Sorrentino.
And
you need to read that book as soon as possible.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, put that on the top of your list because it is so good.
Okay.
Like, Sorrentino's like going all out like he normally does.
Right.
But it's like, it's just like the perfect setup of like a historical piece with like a mystery and then cosmic shit going on. And there's like animals and they're like drawn really well.
Sick.
And they're put in strange situations. But like, Lemire's so good. And same thing with like Brian K. Vaughan and like a lot of the writers that we like, but they're really good at defining what the questions are,
mm-hmm.
rather than like us being confused as to why things happen, you know?
Right.
So I really like that sort of level of storytelling, and he definitely goes like the both of them definitely go all out.
Nice.
In this. So I really like it.
Sick.
Plus there was like 1,000 variant covers. Like I saw like a picture that Sorrentino put out,
uh-huh.
of all the variant covers. Uh-huh. There was like 20.
Okay, nice.
So a big release.
Normally,
so I'm
Drew
happy for
just
him.
Puts like Lemire stuff in my box. Like, he put May's book in there.
That's cool.
Because I was like scared that they wouldn't have any left because I got it like a couple days later.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully he puts like a cool variant in there. He always puts in variant covers.
That's
which
cool.
Is sick.
There's a lot of really good ones, but I picked the Christian Ward one.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan.
Yes, I think I saw that today.
Yep. So anyway, that's all I read this week.
I actually read a lot. So I read the Unbelievable Unteens 2.
Cool.
So get a little bit closer to that. I read Black Hammer Reborn 3.
Mm-hmm.
Are you picking that up still or not really?
I have them. I need to read them. Yeah.
Okay. Like, all the Black Hammer stuff reads super well. Like,
that thing that you said last week, that he's putting out more comics than I can physically read.
Right.
That's so true, because I was catching up on all Lemire this week and there's still Black Hammer I need to read. It's
right.
So funny.
I actually caught up on like everything Black Hammer because I had
That's cool.
like... I never finished Black Hammer and Justice League.
Yeah.
But I finished that. I never read Colonel Weird,
mm-hmm.
but I finished that.
Okay, cool. Was that one good?
That was like as trippy as you'd expect it to be.
That's awesome.
And I loved it.
Yeah, that sounds great.
That one was like one of my like favorites probably.
Cool.
Probably just under like Skulldigger.
Okay, cool.
And then I read all the Black Hammer Visions books.
Nice.
And so those are fun. It's a little odd when it's like someone else writing it. Mm-hmm. Like you can kind of tell.
I like the Patton Oswalt one with the girl.
Yeah, it was okay.
I think that one was interesting.
It was good for like, I don't know if he's ever written other comics, but it seemed like a good...
He's written a MODOK comic.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So he seemed to know how to do that well.
Mm-hmm.
The one that Mariko Tamaki did was really good. I like Zdarsky's one. That one wasn't bad.
Yeah, I read that one. That one's good.
Kelly Thompson had a solid one. I think my favorite one, Colin Bunn's, is okay. Oh, who did it? I think it was... Who the fuck did the Skull Digger one, basically, was probably my favorite one.
I haven't read that one, I don't think.
It's cool. There's like a Catwoman-esque character in it.
Nice.
And it just works really well.
Cool.
So, and what else did I read? Red May's book. And that was about it. I just really wanted to catch up on those things.
Yeah.
So.
The Lumiere-verse.
I've never been caught up on a book before, it feels like. And I read Unteens like immediately because I'm like, I love this shit. And I read Reborn right away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, read a lot of things this week.
Good stuff.
Very proud of myself.
Yeah.
Did you watch anything other than the things we're going to talk about?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I just watched some more Better Call Saul. But yeah, other than that, I just watched Why the Last Man.
Yeah, I'm checking about on Supernatural, as always.
Nice.
That's my relationship show right now.
Yeah.
I hope my relationship doesn't end when the show ends. We're on season 9, so...
So it's coming close to the end. Six more.
Yeah, I guess that's it. Because like when we don't have like a show, it feels like we don't hang out a lot. You know, because we could spend like a whole day just watching fucking Supernatural.
That's nice.
But then if we have like, because she won't watch my shit. Like I try to get her on like What If. She's like, I don't want to watch it.
That's fine.
I'm like, you watched all the movies. These are 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You can do this. But she just like was not about it. Like I tricked her into watching Why the Last Man.
Okay, nice.
I'm like, oh, this is a new show. I think it looks good. I think you'll like it. And then I'm like, that's not what happened in the comic. Like in the first episode, she's like, this is a comic. I'm like, I didn't think you'd watch it if I told you.
Yeah. But does she like it?
Yeah, she's on board with it. So we'll watch that together.
Let's just talk about Why the Last Man right now. All right,
Why the Last Man on Hulu FX show kind of
Hulu FX. Yeah. Very good so far.
Yeah, it looks great.
Really fun and draws me in a lot. There's not a whole lot that's like that different from the comic other than Beth.
It's pretty, yeah, it seems pretty accurate, honestly.
It seems like they're going to set up the characters the same in like the general situation, but then they're not going to like follow the comic that much, I don't think.
Yeah, I wonder if like the Amazons are even going to come into play into this, because we just saw them get locked up.
I assume they will, because we don't really know what's going on with Hero. By the way, spoilers, but... We don't really know what's going on with Hero at the moment. We just know that she's gone somewhere. Yeah, yeah. But she's like, I guess we do. She's like walking around, and then she like got the driver's license for that the dude that was cheating on his wife with Hero.
Yeah.
So anyway, but like, yeah, really good so far. So I like all the government stuff because that's like,
yeah,
that's a lot of pressure.
Definitely.
And that's represented really well on like a TV format.
I feel like I didn't really like that bit that much in the book, but like in the show it seems to translate really well.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that like Martha Kent was in this.
Is that the mom?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought I recognized her, but yeah.
Yeah, she's awesome in this. And then 355 is the best character by far.
Absolutely, dude. She's I was thinking the same thing. Dude, she's got her head on fucking straight. Like she's absolutely. The only one that has like
she knows like the greater good shit.
She knows what the fuck is going on and has to like convince everybody to like
she's like me yelling at everybody.
Yeah. she's gotta set the shit straight for the president, for Yorick, for those two pilots or whatever that knows about Yorick.
Yeah.
And all that shit. So it's really she's very, very cool.
Do you think as many people would be on this show if they didn't release like the first three episodes and just did the first one? I think that's a good
I think I'm strategy. Glad that they released the first three because yeah I think it's best that they released multiple episodes. They could have done like the first two and I think that would have been good too, you know,
because at least you get like a bit of like how the world is after the day. But York is annoying as fuck in this. Like he's so unreasonable and just like.
But he's kind of unreasonable in the comic as well because he's trying to find Beth, right?
Yeah, but it's not like sidelining everything that they're trying to do, you know?
Yeah.
Like he's being like
there's definitely room for him to grow as a character in
this. Sure.
I
But personally, I'm just like, this guy's so dumb. Just do what you're told. You're the last man on earth. You're literally like the last hope.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I fucking hate Ampersand in this show.
Why? Oh, yeah. He just fucking is.
He's there to put him in a shitty situation.
He's basically Jar Jar.
Yeah. Yeah, that's he's fucking Jar Jar.
He just fucks up everything. He runs out everywhere. He basically runs and like gets
runs out to be a dick. In,
yeah,
every time he runs out, he's in a bad situation. So exactly. Like, I like Ampersand in the book because it's like a good way for like Yorick to put his thoughts out by like talking to Ampersand, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of him just like talking to himself and the reader being like, "That's fucking weird. Why is he talking to himself?"
Yeah.
So like Ampersand's like a good like thing for Yorick to talk at.
Yeah.
But, like, he doesn't talk to Ampersand that much. Ampersand doesn't do that many cute things. And he just fucking leaves and puts him in a bad situation. So there hasn't been, like, one single redeeming quality for Ampersand.
I didn't realize that he was also alive.
Ampersand?
That he was also a dude that was alive so until they pointed that out.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Yeah, that also, like, raises the question, like, why them two? Because that's like, not a coincidence.
Maybe
you know?
With, like, his magic shit, like, he just had some bad fumes in his apartment. Just maybe. Makes him okay. I don't know. Like,
so,
I'm so, like, at this point, because of how in the dark I am about, like, why everything is the way it is, like, I feel like no answer will, like, satisfy me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But well, Brian K. Vine don't do that, though.
That's how every apocalypse thing sort of is. Like, when an idea is so big and so interesting that raises so many questions, it's never going to be, like, a good, solid ending, I feel like, you know?
Didn't they say in, like, The Walking Dead that like the virus came from like space.
Yeah. Well, that was the original idea.
But I think like it was kind of like retconned to actually be that.
Yeah. And I think it's better if we don't know.
Which is fucking crazy. Yeah.
In that situation, I think it's better if you don't know what causes the virus. Mm-hmm. In this situation, I think it would be nice to have some answers, but who knows? I also hate that blonde bitch character.
Oh, yeah, like the president's daughter. She's the fucking worst. Sarah hates her, too.
So I hate her fucking guts, and she's like, we need men, like all that. So that's like, just her vibe. She's like
the character that, like, that. Well, yeah, she's like super.
She's a new character, I think.
But she's kind of like representing, like, oh, our husbands or whatever. My dad was involved in this, so we know it as much as they do kind of thing.
I understand her stance and her views, and they make sense to me. I just hate her.
Yeah, those are definitely, and those are like, characters. And she's just like so weird, like
very strange.
She's a meninist.
Yeah.
You know, the opposite of a feminist. Like the way that she's like wanting men to give in to like their
specific roles in society. Like they need to like care for the women.
And shit. Yeah. Yeah. And just like how much she just praises men and how important they are. Like she actually thinks like she that. Just, and it's so odd. Like I don't.
She's icky.
Like the books that she like is famous for or whatever. I'm like, I feel like that shit would never fly.
Yeah.
If there is that sort of thing out there.
Yeah. It's very. Yeah. She's a good character to hate. Like we're supposed to hate her and I do. So.
Yeah. I think it's good to have like characters you hate in a show because like I don't think everything should just like go swimmingly. You know?
She's definitely in there to like just throw a wrench in everything, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So very good. I hate. The scene where Yorick is discovered by those three women in the shop, in like the dry cleaning shop.
Oh, yeah.
Because it feels like for a show where the concept is you're trying to hide that there's a man alive. And I'm sure this like that scene will come into play later. But for the first one to be just three random people that we don't really know. And then he just like leaves later. It feels like that would have been a bigger moment with more significance.
Sure.
Than what I was originally given.
But it's also like, I mean, the concept of a man being there is just like in no one's like head.
Yeah.
And so like if someone random is just like, oh, I saw a dude in my dry cleaning place.
No one's going
to
believe
him. Who's going to believe you kind of thing. And I kind of like it to be like, he's not perfect at staying hidden.
Yeah, true.
Because he's got to go salvage shit or go search for stuff. So I think like this is probably one of the best case scenarios for him to get caught because he did go, you know, sewer diving or whatever to find Ampersand.
Yeah.
So I didn't mind that.
I also like the overall just environment that I think they've done really well with, like abandoned cars everywhere, the dead bodies and all that. I think they've done all that super well. Like it really makes me believe that this is what the world would look like if all the men died.
Yeah.
Because they can't possibly get rid of all the bodies in like a very timely manner. And like that's not their priority either. So it's very interesting that they've just like throwing them all in one room and they're gradually getting rid of them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's cool. Like, it looks really good. Like, the camera quality is, like, good. Like, cinematography is good.
Yeah.
Like, the acting is, like, quality.
Yeah, you know? Really
it
good.
It doesn't... I don't get any, like, CW vibes or anything like that. Like, it seems like a well-put-together show.
A premium show, for sure.
Which is why, like, it doesn't have, like, any signs that it was in, like, development hell or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to come out, like, 5 years ago or something.
Yeah, I'm sure it was in, like, a for-real development hell for
Brian K. Vaughan. Yeah, but we don't see that, which is cool.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm liking it a lot. I don't know if we necessarily need to talk about it every week, but when the season wraps, we should talk about it as a whole, you know?
Yeah, it's up to you.
Yeah. Whatever you want to do. I guess we'll see how exciting it is. But pretty cool so far. Do you think 355 killed the two pilots?
Yeah.
Absolutely she did, right?
Yeah, because, like, just, like, the look on her face.
She was like,
when she planned this shit.
She was not worried at all.
Like, they didn't seem super like, oh, yeah, we'll keep the secret. She's like, I'm not risking this.
I know, dude. It's so good.
She just murdered two people, but, like, I kind of agree with it.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, this is the best thing for them. And then she, like... fluffs them up by giving them, like, the Medal of Honor or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, maybe that'll...
Just to burn it.
Maybe that'll generate some loyalty, but then just right. kills them. It's fucking awesome. I love 355.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Best character.
Best character.
So, yeah. Good show. Jolly good show. Watch it.
Jolly good show, mate. And then we got What If Killmonger Saved Tony Stark?
I didn't watch it.
Oh, my God.
I was so focused on watching the three episodes of Why the Last Man, I literally didn't even think about it until I was on the way over here. I forgot that the next What If episode came out, to be honest, so I apologize.
That's fair. I guess
did you like it?
I guess we'll talk about it next week.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Is it like a top three episode?
No.
Okay.
Maybe like a four out of the six.
Is T'Challa in it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's a good episode. It's... there's a lot in it, obviously, but
sure.
I guess we'll have to talk about it next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week. And I think that's actually everything.
What are we going to read next week, Nathan?
That's a good question. We don't have anything coming out that we have to read, do we?
We do. Let me tell you.
What's coming out?
So we got Star Wars Visions coming out.
That already comes out?
9/22.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's like...
I'm down for a Star Wars book.
And then we also have Doom Patrol that comes out 9/23. So you could pick between those.
I'd rather do Star Wars, I think.
So do you want...
We've only done one Star Wars book.
Right.
And there's so many comics out there.
But do you want to do a Star Wars manga for the Star Wars anime that's coming out?
What is it called?
High Republic Edge of Balance.
So it's very new.
Very new. Like this year new, I think. Or last year.
The High Republic Edge of Balance Volume 1. Okay, so this is like black and white and everything too.
Yeah, it's like... very true manga.
Do you know what the High Republic is? Because I really don't. I haven't been kept like...
So it's like 1,000 years before the New Republic.
Cool.
So just kind of that
so very
area.
Fresh Star Wars,
super,
I guess.
Super fresh Star Wars stuff. This even might inspire me to catch up on like... this might even inspire me to catch up on the High Republic comic.
Okay.
Am I coming up still?
Yeah, you're coming up fine.
So yeah, because... when High Republic came out, there's like the novel, the comic, and then the manga, which is this, which I think is probably like one of the better things to do prior to a Star Wars anime.
Yeah. This isn't even published by Marvel. It's very interesting. It's by Viz.
Yeah, Viz Media.
That's very interesting. I'm down for this, honestly.
Sick. I'm very glad that you said that.
I hope I understand it because I don't
this
know
has
anything
more
about
reviews.
High Republic.
This has more reviews than like the High Republic trade.
Yeah. Manga's dang. Very popular, turns out.
Yeah, pretty... Yeah, pretty popular.
Remember
so.
The statistic that like the Demon Slayer, one of the Demon Slayer volumes outsold all of the big two all up?
Really?
Yeah, at one of the months.
I think One Piece has outsold Batman.
That makes sense.
Because, I mean, but they both have like 1,000 issues.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So. Pretty cool. Because, yeah. Like, I guess not a lot of people go back to, like, the 30s or, like, the 40s of Batman.
I wouldn't.
But, like,
but
One Piece has been coming out since, like, the 90s.
Yeah, and it's produced a lot quicker because of
yeah.
no coloring, for one. And then just, like, I guess they just, like, I don't know, crunch a lot harder or whatever.
I feel like
I don't even
manga
know.
Artists, like, grind.
Yeah,
dude.
Exactly. Like,
they put out shit weekly
to the point of like they don't have a life outside of that, and it seems kind of sad.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, slow down, it's okay. Well, they take like I think they take breaks after like a certain amount of issues.
Yeah, I just hope they have a healthy work-life balance. But yeah, manga does come out typically a lot faster, so yeah. It's a bit easier to read from the beginning.
I don't know if I'd be able to catch up with the manga that came out like weekly, you know?
No, I never.
But like I was telling you, like when I was reading Chainsaw Man, like each issue was only like 19 pages or so, but it felt like it was like four.
Oh, so they're cheating.
Kind of. So okay. Like the work was still there, but I could blow through an issue in like 4 minutes.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so that's probably why as well.
I guess it's not that bad. You can just read it while taking your morning dump kind of thing on a Monday.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
So Star Wars, The High Republic, Edge of Balance, Volume 1.
This came out like this month.
Oh, nice. See, we're doing the current comics.
Yeah,
you're
current
talking
comics.
About.
Yeah. Things that are hot right now.
Hot off the press, Nathan.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the show for this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you want to reach out to us and talk to us about how you liked Why the Last Man or how you eat ice cream, are you a chomper?
Are you a chomper? Do you know any books that are like comics and not hard to read?
Yeah. Normal books without pictures that are easy to read still, like comics. Let us know. You can reach out to us at tradewaiterspod@gmail.com or on Twitter at tradewaiterspod. And I'm at more like Nate Thick on Twitter.
Dan and Nativitad.
Dan's been tweeting. He got retweeted by, who was it, Gail Simone?
Yep, Gail Simone.
That's huge.
She thought what I said was funny.
Yeah.
I guess.
That's a big clout.
Yeah, I know. Pretty cool. It was very surprising.
She'd be tweeting too.
Yeah, she tweets all the time. She's funny.
Yeah. So that's the show for this week. Thanks for listening.
Alrighty.
Peace.